Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the probation recommendation and the proposed conditions attached to it, you were at Monday's meeting. Can you give us kind of a sense of how it went? What were the primary issues addressed, and what was the overall tone of the meeting?
Okay. Well, the primary issues, without getting into too much of the detail, are these. First of all, Odyssey's bylaws require that a majority of the 9 seats on its board go to members of AHEPA, which is the Greek men's organization that founded the school. This means 2 things. At a minimum, non-AHEPA members will always be a minority of the board, and women can never comprise the majority. Next, matters concerning AHEPA and its members have a way of coming before the board, things like finding well-paying jobs at the school for AHEPA members, and that's a conflict of interest. Then there's misappropriation of state funds in violation of the school charter, like using money to pay the startup costs for the AHEPA-affiliated Ithaca Learning Center, which was a preschool planned to go into an Odyssey-owned building. All of this adds up to a broader charge that the board's conduct raises suspicion that its actions run contrary to preserving the public trust. Now, given the nature of these charges, the tone of the meeting had to be quite serious. Members of the Charter School Accountability Committee quite bluntly reminded the Odyssey team that Odyssey was a public school, not a private school. And after going through a recitation of these various charges, they delivered a very simple message: fix it. Now. As for Odyssey, other than making a brief pitch to preserve the AHEPA majority on the board, its leader's tone was rather humble and contrite. They expressed a willingness to improve their transparency, to try to avoid future conflicts of interest, and more broadly, to work with the state to ensure that the school has a good reputation and a strong academic program.
Right, so let's move on to these 16 conditions that were set out by the Charter School Accountability Committee that Odyssey would have to deal with while on probation. They seem to basically kind of fall into 2 categories, governance and financial. We'll start with the bigger of the 2 groups, which is governance. What is the committee looking to get from Odyssey in the area of governance?
Okay, well, this is pretty easy to summarize here on governance. Many of the charges are meant to reduce that strong control that AHEPA, the Greek men's fraternal organization, now has over the board of directors. The changes that the state wants to see occur would eliminate the board majority that AHEPA now holds and reduce the influence that AHEPA and its affiliated organizations now have in things like nominating new board members, electing the officers of the board, appointing members of committee, and in voting on issues that involve both AHEPA and the school. And then there are other recommendations that they made as well relating to governance, for along the lines of changing procedures for amending the board's bylaws, requiring advance authorization for out-of-state travel for board members and school leaders that would involve using school funds.
On the financial side, what is Odyssey required to do there while under probation if that winds up happening?
Well, okay, the investigation that's been conducted determined that there was more than $93,000 spent in ways that would violate the terms of the state's charter for Odyssey. Nearly $91,500 was spent to establish a corporation that would have run this Ithaca Learning Center on Odyssey's Barley Mill campus. Another $1,500 was spent for school officials to attend an AHEPA convention in Atlantic City. So now Odyssey is going to be required to recover that money. Also, Odyssey would have to pay for an investigative audit of its financial records. Details on how that audit will be conducted still have to be worked out. And if the audit does uncover any more misspending, Odyssey would have to recover those funds. Finally, Odyssey will have to improve the role of its required Citizens Budget Oversight Committee. The state's review found that the board hadn't kept the committee informed of all of its financial decisions, so essentially the committee was being kept in the dark about things that it was supposed to know about so it could give advice to the board. One other condition, which is it's neither directly financial nor governance related, is that Odyssey board representatives will have to meet at least monthly with the State Department of Education to discuss the progress that they're making to meet all of these conditions. So the state's not going to wait until the end of the year to see what Odyssey has accomplished. It's going to keep the pressure on and keep that pressure on month by month.
Having said all that, you kind of alluded earlier to this, but how did Odyssey respond to what was kind of laid out for them during this meeting?
As I said, the Odyssey officials tended to be humble and contrite. Early in the meeting, Audrey Noble, who is a member of the State Board of Education, said that Odyssey's earlier responses to the charges, this is going back over the past month or so, had been what she said was tone deaf, which is pretty stern language there. And there was very little of that on Monday, except for the minute or two when the Odyssey folks argued that they wanted to preserve that AHEPA majority on the board. What they were saying was that these alleged conflict of interest that popped up weren't because there was an AHEPA majority, but it was because the individuals from AHEPA who hold these seats on the board didn't recognize the conflicts of interest that they were involved in. Once they abandoned that line of argument, the Odyssey team was generally agreeable to resolving the issues in the way the accountability committee desired. As school board member Elias Regas put it, what was is not what it's going to be.
You mentioned the audit piece of the recommendations and the conditions. One issue that's come up throughout this review has been this issue of auditing Odyssey. The Department of Education asked State Auditor Kathy McGinnis to conduct one earlier this year. McGinnis said she would do so only if DOE paid for it. It looks like these conditions are trying to address that issue. So I guess what is expected there, and are there still some lingering concerns about how this audit is going to be conducted?
Well, it's not clear how all of this is going to work out, because there are enough variables in play that it's safe to say that the details are not going to be resolved until the Secretary of Education delivers the final decision on this whole Odyssey matter on July 18th. The committee's recommendation is that Odyssey pay for the audit, and that would get both DOE and Auditor Kathy McGinnis off the hook. As for Odyssey, if it wants to avoid future problems, it would probably do well just to go ahead and agree to pay for the audit. But the parties are still going to have to spell out exactly what this audit is going to cover, how far it's going to go beyond merely balancing checkbooks and making sure that income and expenses were charged to the proper accounts. For example, will the audit look at the school's internal controls? For example, making sure that there are cross checks on who is permitted to approve spending, making sure that the person who writes the checks isn't the one who also reconciles the accounts when the monthly statements come in, that sort of thing. And then there's also the point that Odyssey would have to make repayments if the audit does turn up any improper spending. Now, I suppose, in all fairness, there might be a need for some checks and balances here. If there's a finding that Odyssey disputes, Odyssey should have the opportunity, the ability to challenge the findings. Finally, there's another big issue. Who gets to pick the auditor? Kathy McGinnis, as has been reported, has some strong ties to Delaware's Greek community, whose members were significant contributors to the school and who were significant contributors to her election campaign last year. State Representative Kim Williams, who was at the meeting on Monday, says it wouldn't be right for either McGinnis or for Odyssey officials to choose who the auditor should be for this project.
Certainly something to keep an eye on as this process moves forward. Speaking of that, what is next? As we've noted, this is just the Charter School Accountability Committee's recommendation. Where does it go from here for those who are not familiar with how this formal review process plays out?
What we have right now is just a recommendation from the Charter School Accountability Committee. But past experience tells us that that recommendation will likely be carried out. So now here's what happens as a result of Monday's vote. First of all, by now, the Accountability Committee should have sent a written report to the school and to the Secretary of Education. That report should give the details of the state investigation and include all of the recommendations of conditions of probation that were voted on Monday. Then, on July 8th, there will be a public hearing in Wilmington for anybody who's interested to make formal comments on the matter. 4 days later, on July 12th, is the deadline for members of the public to file written comments. Then, on July 18th, as I've indicated, the Secretary of Education will deliver her report to the State Board of Education. Now, the Secretary could modify the committee's recommendations, but that's not likely unless new information turns up in the next 2 weeks. Then, the State Board either gives its assent to the Secretary's report, but it cannot modify it. It would be very, very sad, very surprising if the report is not accepted by the State Board.
Assuming what we see is what we get for Odyssey in the end, and it plays out that way, how much concern should there be about the school's future? We have seen review process and probation begin sort of death spirals for some other charter schools. Could the same happen here, or is Odyssey different than some of the other ones that have been through this process?
Yeah, well, you know, we've certainly talked about this before, and we've seen what has happened with other charter schools. But there are a couple of things that make this situation different. Odyssey has 1,800 students. It's the second largest charter school in the state. Now, 10 years ago, if Odyssey were a bank, they'd be saying that it's too big to fail. Second, it's recognized for having a solid academic program. The last state evaluation of the school for the 2017-18 school year concluded that the school was, quote, approaching expectations, unquote, academically. And that means that there's room for improvement, but not many significant glaring weaknesses. Now, so if you take the combination of large enrollment and solid academics, that should put the school on a strong foundation. Now, if the Odyssey leadership carries out whatever changes are recommended, I really wouldn't anticipate any major problems for the school in the future. You know, assuming everything else continues to go well for them. However, if the school leaders continue to make their primary allegiance to AHEPA and to these other Greek affiliated organizations that have a role in the school, and they keep their allegiance there rather than to the school's students, parents, and teachers, there could be a lot of trouble down the road. Odyssey's leaders here are being given a second chance because there were some problems that they experienced 4 or 5 years ago. Because they've gotten two chances, they really should not expect to be getting a third.